We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, oh man, what a night for the in-season tournament. You know what time it is. That's right. Survive and advance. The Boston Celtics, somehow, some way, they find the energy to get it done in a tight one. We'll explain how it's a tight one. 124-97, they take down the Chicago Bulls and are advancing in the in-season tournament. We got a recap of that game, what it all means going forward, and what the schedule looks like for the Celtics. That and more coming up next here, Green with Envy. What up? It's your boy Will Weir locking in with my pick and pop partner, my best friend, coach of the podcast, the one and only Greg Menakis. Man, I gotta say, in season tournament, a lot of fun tonight. A lot of fun.
There's so much to talk about. Do you want to start with the morning box score? Do you want to just get into the game? Do you want to talk about Haka Drummond up 30? Like, where do you want?
I mean, we're gonna get into a lot of it with the game. I just want to start just real quick, just for a minute or two. Listen, I was healthily skeptical just to see what the in-season tournament was going to do. It did exactly, the NBA, I got to give them credit. It did exactly what they wanted to do. Even if you're confused by it, there's conversation about it. There's people sending me text messages. What does this mean? Is this an in-season tournament game? And, you know, we're recording this. We didn't do a live post-game because we had, you know, our own men's rec league game. Shout out to the squad, still undefeated. 43 victory, something along those lines. I should have taken a picture. But I mean, that was the first thing everyone was talking about when we get there. Granted, there's a couple of Celtics fans on our team, but that's the first thing everyone's talking about is who advanced, what does it mean? And so the excitement was there. It was fun tonight on the broadcast, having a game that got, you know, certainly out of hands by a November regular season game standard that still had meaning. One of our buddies on our team, shout out to our guy Liptak, you know, saying same thing with the Knicks and Hornets game. It's what's happened in the Bucks game, what's happened in the Celtics game, trying to figure out. And you know what? End of the day, I don't know if by the time we get to whoever the final two in Vegas are, if it's going to feel like it means something or not, but I'm having fun. And I think that's all that matters right now.
It's fun and it's a cool product. I don't know if they did it tonight, but when I was out watching the first in-season tournament game out at the bar a couple of weeks ago, and they had the four screens or like NBA Crunch Time, whatever they're calling it,
That's like their version of Red Zone, kind of.
Yeah, that's a really cool product. So I get where the NBA is going with this. I was bought in from the beginning, so to see that you're now bought in, most people are bought in. Shout out to our guy Frosty on Twitter. Frosty not bought in. Frosty buys. If you follow him on Twitter, I want to pull up some of his tweets because he's just so angry. Frosty's one of the,
you think I'm old man angry. There's definitely some older,
Frosty's
angrier
actually
guys
older
there.
Right,
I know, I know. Nick Gelso of CLNS. I saw him. He was still on the course. Like, I've been off the course now. Whatever. They're so bad, they're good. It's kind of like my final stance with them. I think he was at the game tonight. I saw even he was like, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm all in. But it took until the last night to do it. But let's get into it, and we'll try to hit it from all angles. So let's go ahead and let's queue up the morning box score. The Boston Celtics find a way to advance in the in-season tournament. They are heading to the quarterfinals, where they'll be going to play Indiana. Indiana Pacers have the 2 seed. Celtics are the technical 3 seed. They'll play that game at Indiana either Monday or Tuesday of the upcoming week to be determined. But the Celtics go ahead and get the big victory tonight, 124-97. Against the, let's call them the hapless, the withering Bulls. I don't know. There's a lot of negative adjectives that can be used to describe that Bulls.
I'm
going to
call
team,
them the moribund Bulls.
Let's go with that. I mean, we could go all day with different words to describe what this Bulls team is and where they're going. We'll hit on that for a second here later. But quickly on the Bulls side, 19.6 assists for DeMar DeRozan, 14 for Patrick Williams, 19 for Kobe White. Alex Caruso, you know, just did Alex Caruso things, you know, which is why he's going to be so valuable on the trade market. We've already hit on him on an earlier podcast. But other than that, not much to talk about. Zach LaVine, 1 of 9, 2 points, 25 minutes. DeMar DeRozan left early with an injury. Just some really ugly stuff from the Bulls on this particular night. Let's go over to the Celtics. There's a lot of good to talk about with the Celtics box score tonight. And let's start with Greg's favorite guy, Jaylen Brown. 12 of 23, 3 of 8 from 3, 3 of 5 from the line. Finishes with 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists along with a block. Jason Tatum, 8 of 16 from the field, 21.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Al Horford, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Derek White, 5 of 7 from the field, 14 points for him, 7 assists, 2 steals. Welcome back to the starting lineup, Drew Holiday, 14 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Sam Hauser, 10 rebounds off the bench tonight, 9 points for him, 11 points for Peyton Pritchard. Just up and down, very efficient nights for almost all Celtics involved. Really hard to find anything negative to say about the Celtics, so I'm not even going to try at this point. But Greg, I know looking at this box score, I know there's for sure an individual that you want to highlight. I know I got one that I want to highlight. Let's start with your guy, because I know where we're going with this. So take it away for us right now.
Well, with Jaylen Brown, of the last 16 quarters of basketball, 4 games, he's played 14 really, really good quarters, right? The only thing that he's struggling with, the only time he struggled, sorry, when you put the music up really loud for a second, kind of
yeah, no, I was trying to fade it out, but then it rose up, so that was okay. That's my
no worries. So the only time he struggled was in the second half of the Magic game, right? That was it. He's played the best basketball he's played this season over the last 4 games. Take out the second half of the Magic, Jaylen Brown is playing exactly the type of basketball that the Celtics need for the whole offense and the whole engine to be running smoothly. Those 6 assists don't even like begin to describe the mindset that Jaylen Brown is now playing with. I think somebody tweeted at me that he had 10 potential assists in the previous game where he was, I think he only had 3 actual assists, but 10 potential assists. I would love to see how many potential assists he had tonight, but his ability now to, well, what he's not, I wouldn't say now, but what he's doing now is the game's starting to slow down for him. He's keeping it very simple. He's playing patiently out of the post. He's drawing multiple defenders and just making the very simple reads out to the opposite wings and to the opposite corners, stuff that we've been asking Jaylen Brown to do. And it just took him a while to see it. And now that he's seeing it, and now that he's contributing to the connectivity on the court, the rest of the team is also able to trust to make the extra pass. And I do want to really quickly show this one play that demonstrates Jaylen Brown earlier in the season, before this season, I feel like he shoots this shot, but for those of you watching on YouTube, this is a great example of Jaylen trusting the extra pass for a wide open Al Horford 3.
They find Tatum back outside. Horford knocks down a 3. Wow.
You know, that's the Celtics up 30 points there, and Jaylen is continuing, you know, 4 minutes left in the game, 118 to 88.
Yo, Jaylen, the starters were locked in late in this one. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
They were. Jaylen continues to make the right pass when he's when Jaylen Brown is also making the right pass. It's just so much easier for everybody else to trust that process. And I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Jaylen. I want to show one more play here. One thing that I think Jaylen can kind of embody moving forward is the idea of if he sees two bodies, just make the simple pass. When I was a coach, I would always preach to my players, see two, move the ball. See two and move it. We would always stress that in practice. See two and move it, see two and move it.
I heard NBA players about Rolex and Rolls Royce, and Cornette said mortgage. Celtics really committing to this three.
That's such a simple play because he catches the ball on the right wing. Jaylen Brown can shoot that three-pointer. He drives into the paint. He sees a very good help defender in Caruso. And the thing I love about that play is when you go back and watch it, the moment Jaylen Brown gets rid of the ball, I feel like is the right moment for all good playmakers in the NBA. It's a split second ahead of the defense. And I feel like last year and earlier this season, that pass was just a little bit later, a count later. Maybe the ball gets deflected. Maybe Caruso's able to rotate out and contest the shot. Instead, Jaylen gets rid of the ball early, wide open Pritchard shot, money.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is the thing for me when it comes to Jaylen Brown is when we talk about him being a playmaker, like there's levels to playmakers, right? In the NBA, like Jaylen Brown doesn't need to be Tyrese Halliburton's at the top of this, but you know what I mean? He doesn't need to be like in this crazy elite category. It's exactly what you're talking about. It's can you consistently make the right and the simple reads? And then eventually, you know, you try to grow from that. And so I think right now, it's just consistency in making that right read. And you've seen that, like you said, minus the second half of that Orlando game, which is, you know, as we talked about, there's context around what that second half looked like as well. But, you know, just making those simple reads, he gets it, especially the way this team is set up. And this is without Kristaps Porzingis, which, by the way, apparently he joined the broadcast tonight. Looks like he might even be back by Friday. If not, looks like Indiana, and whether that's Monday or Tuesday, seems likely that there's a chance that he'll play in that game. But the way that this team is set up, if you just make the right play, he's going to have a lot of nights where he has 5, 6, 7 assists. Like, mm-hmm. that's the way this team is set up when you have Jason Tatum, when you have, obviously, even take out Jason Tatum, just having Al Horford, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, having KP out there, having those guys that are going to be ready, that if you make the right pass, they're going to knock down the shot, or they're going to take that shot, and they're going to take the right shot, which is also going to leave us in better positions to, whether that's get offensive rebounds, that's to get back on defense, which helps our transition defense. Like, there's so many other little things that Jaylen making just that right pass or that right play, you know, goes into that you don't just think about. And so when we say that, you know, Jaylen Brown needs to be a playmaker, it's a simple playmaker. It's not this, you know, ultimate creator. And so I think mm-hmm. sometimes when I see comments on Twitter, I think that's the way that they're interpreting, like, oh, you want Jaylen Brown to run the pick and roll and do, you know, something that Trae Young would do. It's like, no, that's not even close to what,
just don't be a ball stopper.
Exactly. And so I think the examples that you used, and like you said, these last couple of games, these have been tremendous Jaylen games minus that second half. And so tonight he was phenomenal, you know, and they needed him to be phenomenal because, you know, no KP, we need a night where one of the Jays is going to have 30-something points because we needed to win this game by 23, if you hadn't heard. And so, you know, you got to get some guys that have some outstanding performances. And in one of those clips, you know, Jaylen found my guy, Al Horford. You know, I announced earlier in the season, Derek White is now kind of my number one seed role player. Al's still right there, man. I fucking love me some Al. Al's 37 years old. He's 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 6. He's refining that 3-point shot. I think him getting a few of these starts has helped him get a little bit more of his rhythm back. But the 9 rebounds, the 6 assists, the 2 steals, the 3 blocks. Didn't block one to his son tonight, which I thought was a little rude. Like, you're going to do, you know, and I know he's got a couple kids. So you got to spread the wealth. But just Al Horford's, and this is the thing, with Al, even when his shot wasn't falling earlier in the year, he's found a way to make himself still extremely valuable to this team. And I think occasionally it can be forgotten because of his age and the new toys that we have in Drew Holiday, who I thought had a really great comeback game tonight, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and you know, Derek White elevating, that he can sometimes be forgotten, but it cannot be, you know, we cannot underappreciate what Al Horford means to this team and the activity that he brings. And even if his shot isn't going, he's still going to have a value to this team night in and night out. And seeing the way that he's played over, you know, his last stretch or so, just reminds you that this is a crucial part of this team to be able to make the run, whether that's the in-season tournament run or that's the run to the championship they want to make. This guy is going to play such a massive role, and I love seeing him just thrive, you know, continually. Each time when we think he might be getting old or there might be, you know, this is the end of it, Al Horford finds a way to keep stepping up. So just got to shout out Al Horford for his performance.
Right. And, you know, I think Al struggled at the beginning of the year to adjust to the role off the bench. So I love your comment about him finding his rhythm now that he's gotten a few starts under his belt. The 3-point stroke is back. You know, I gave him at my whatever it was, like after 12 games, I put out my my first report card and I gave him a C+. And, you know, if a few people were like, what? Like, you gave Al C+? Well, this is A+ Al, right? Yeah. So what was he doing earlier in the year? Was that A+ Al? No, that wasn't A+ Al. That was just Al Horford playing at more of an average level, you know, a C+ average. And now he's playing great basketball and he deserves to be graded out as like an A+ player over the past 5 games or so. And he's got another opportunity, you know, against the Sixers on Friday where he really shines, his matching up against Joel Embiid. He played great against Embiid in the first matchup. So it's another opportunity for Al Horford to step up. I'm assuming that game's on national television.
Don't think it is.
Really?
Really weird. So only reason I know is I was watching some of the Sixers destroy the Lakers last night, and the Sixers broadcast was super excited that for some reason Sixers, Lakers, Sixers, Celtics in 1 week is not on national TV. Also, just like, weird scheduling quirk. This is the third matchup already with the Sixers. Kind of weird that we're playing the Sixers 3 times in the first 20 games. You would think, knowing that these teams are, you know, rivals and that, you know, it's going to matter later in the season, you'd like to have a few games in February, March when they're rounding into playoff form.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, anyways, that's just a weird scheduling quirk. But yeah, on Friday night, that's going to be a fun game in Philly, or in Boston, I should say, actually, with Philly coming to Boston for that one. But you know, just sticking with this game tonight, Greg, it was really interesting to kind of see how the Celtics were, because Mazzulla didn't want to answer any questions before. He was like, it's just a game. Clearly, it was not just the game by the time we got to the middle of the third quarter. And, you know, I've highlighted before the third quarter has been kind of a disaster area for the Celtics. Tonight, obviously, I mean, nothing was – the Bulls are just a freaking mess. I don't know what to make of what the Bulls are doing or, you know, where they're going. But tonight in the third quarter, Celtics won 28-18. You know, that's been a rough spot for them where they've had trouble breaking 20 points in a lot of their recent third quarters. Their defense has held up, but it's been the offense that has been really troubling. So they still find a way to get the 28 points in that third quarter. And then you get to this just weird building tension. And even Drew Holiday talked about it post-game that it's like, it feels weird. It feels like you're, he said in his words, it just feels weird. It's like you're disrespecting the game and your opponent. It feels weird, but I understand it. But at the same time, you're just playing to the whistle. And, you know, you kind of mentioned it briefly. Hacker Drummond, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, up 30. One of my favorite things I've seen in a very long time. I was absolutely dying at that move. And if that doesn't tell you that they're at least taking the last game, once they know what the stakes are, this game was certainly different than a normal November game.
Right. And I want to play a quick clip from Joe Mazzulla in his press conference where he addresses that moment where he had to talk to Billy Donovan at half court because he didn't want to seem as if he was being disrespectful. So I got a quick little clip from the press conference here.
Joe, well, I mean, it's official because Brooklyn won, so you guys have advanced. So I guess congratulations on that.
Without worrying about it, we advanced. Think about what the process does. Look at that. Process over results.
What was the conversation you were having with Billy Donovan there at the half?
It was just it wasn't necessarily a miscommunication, but we had a guy on our staff sitting near the bench giving, once I told him, don't talk to me until at the point where it's necessary. And so once it got to 30 at the start of the fourth, we started communicating on what the Brooklyn game was going and what the deficit was. And so when I started the Hacker Drummond, Billy thought that we had to win by 22, but he didn't know the ramifications of what was going on in the Brooklyn-Toronto game. And so I just had to explain to him, This is what our people are telling us. This is what we have to do. This is the process towards protecting our lead. It gives us the best chance to win in advance. And so credit to him for understanding that.
It's kind of funny hearing Mazzulla say Hacker Drummond. Like, I know we say that as fans and media, but it feels like that would be something that we would say and not maybe necessarily the coaches who are in the moment of the game actually calling it Hack-a-Shack, Hacker Drummond. Like, it's more like a media term, but it's funny hearing him say that.
Yeah. And I mean, that was such a weird moment in the game. You know, with Drummond on the court, I didn't know how I felt about it because although he did miss all four of the free throws, it's not like the Bulls were scoring at will against us. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, we're probably going to get stops anyway if we just play.
Yeah. DeRozan and LaVine were already out at that point because DeRozan rolled an ankle, and I think LaVine also had some foot soreness. So it wasn't like their two big scorers were all of a sudden going to go off and get hot, which would have been kind of the concern that might exist there.
Yeah, and I just want to talk about a couple more guys that played well because you said, everybody played well. I thought Luke Kornet, man, like he's continuing to show real promise in that backup big role. He had three blocks tonight, three rebounds. One thing I really like about him, Drummond, normally when we play Drummond, he just is too physical for most of our big men. Like even Rob Williams, like when Drummond would go up against Rob, he would just throw him around on the court. And Luke has been, you know, being a lot more physical of late, which is boding well for what the Celtics need from him because he's, like it or not, he's probably going to have some minutes in big moments where he's covering like a Joel Embiid or something like that. Like they're going to have
Giannis or something like that. Yeah.
He's so big, man. He's 7'2". He's a large human being, but he's always kind of played a little bit more finesse. But it does seem like he's being more willing to be physical this year. And I love that because if Luke Kornet can realize that he is 7'2 and play like a true 7-footer, that's a nice piece to have off the bench. And I thought that he did a good job in his minutes tonight. I've kind of been hard on Luke throughout this year. And I just want to give him his flowers because I think he's been playing really good basketball lately and he stepped up.
With Luke, he just has a very high IQ, right? Like there was that stretch where I jokingly put out on Twitter, the new Stockton to Malone, Derek White to Luke Kornet, back-to-back give and goes, basically. And, you know, it's exactly what we talked about when Nimi had his big game a game ago, right? Is that with Luke, he has the IQ that you kind of know at the very minimum what you're going to get. Now, there's going to be certain teams that can certainly, you know, give him a lot of trouble. And I'm going to be really curious, especially if KP doesn't play, on Friday to see what Mazzulla does, right? Because Tyrese Maxey is a guy that if he sees Luke Cornett out there, he's seeing red. Right. Like that, yeah. That would be a pretty big, I mean, that's a tough matchup with KP out there. Even Tyrese Maxey is going to see red. So, mm-hmm. you know, to see what they would do with Luke and with Nimi, who they go with, because Nimi would be a little bit more of a presence against Embiid, but both of them are going to be, you know, in trouble against Maxey in that pick and roll if he's coming mm-hmm. downhill. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Joe does with those minutes. But, you know, Luke is just solid, man. Luke is solid. And he's a vibes guy. Luke, big time vibes guy, great for the bench. Love seeing the bench go nuts on that Hauser put back dunk today. That was, hey man, Hauser's having a moment with these dunks right now. I think that's three straight games where Hauser's got a dunk. So, you know, Hauser is not just a 3-point shooter, guys. He's got a little bit more to his game. But yeah, I mean, everyone that was, what do you think about Delano Banton? I mean, this is kind of a smaller thing, but just the fact that Mazzulla was willing to go back to him again tonight with Jrue Holiday back. I assume it was probably just to keep some more length out there. Without KP, you know, you're not going to have as much height, but with Banton, you can kind of keep a little bit more length on the court. So I didn't know if that might have been his angle, but I mean, he was solid. I wouldn't say it was anything spectacular, but he was solid tonight.
I just really like Banton. You know, I liked him in Toronto. I think he's, because he's a former point guard, and he's a point guard by trade, I think that he has a really high basketball IQ. You know, talking to our guy S, by the way, Objective Basketball Podcast, our guy Adam was on that talking about the Celtics. Make sure you go listen to that. If you're tuning in right now to our podcast, go check out our guy S, his podcast with, was it Lauren Gunn?
With Lauren Gunn. Yep. Correct.
Yeah. Lauren Gunn. Yeah. They have a really cool, podcast where they're bringing in, I think every Tuesday or something, people from other teams, and they wanted to talk about the Celtics. So Adam was on that. It's a good listen. But with Banton, S was telling me that he thought he would fit in really nicely, and I trust S's basketball opinion. So, you know, even though I liked Banton in Toronto, I did want to see if that would actually, you know, bear fruit this year. One thing I do want to pull up, Will, because I know you just talked about it. I want to see if I can get that Hauser clip with the tip dunk real quick. So we can also see Luke, the vibes guy, see if this clip actually has Luke's reaction to it. You see Luke, he just, like starts raising the roof. Sorry, my Harry Potter wizard sleeve got caught.
Yeah, you got the Harry Potter ass robe going on right now. But no, and then also, yo, shout out to our guy Zingas, looking like a stud on the bench. I mean, it made me forget. I had forgotten about, you know, the Gallo looks that we got all last season where, you know, the Woody was great. That was fantastic. Especially because we were in San Antonio. We were there at that game and we could see it, you know, from the other side of the court. But, you know, Gallo was on his Italian swaggy vibes on the bench. And it was really cool seeing KP back there with that. And once again, like I said, he talked about his calf is apparently doing pretty well. Chance he might play Friday. If not, looks like he could be available for that quarterfinal in-season tournament game. Just as we're talking here, I'm just kind of scrolling through Twitter. It is really interesting seeing, you know, there's another quote here from Jaylen Brown also talking about how it felt kind of wrong running up the score. You know, just paraphrasing, that's just not how the game is supposed to be played. I would be upset as well if we were doing hack-a-drum in the middle of the fourth quarter. You know, and so I do wonder, you know, while for us, for fans, we had plenty of fun. We're not out on the court, obviously, but I think we had a lot of fun just kind of scoreboard watching, going back and forth. And like you said, I forget what the NBA is calling it, but their version of red zone. What is it?
Crunch time.
You know, like this is the perfect setup for it. And I think especially, you know, one thing that feels like it was probably a little bit unfair is that teams that know on this last night, they clearly treated the game differently, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're the Orlando Magic, it's kind of like we did everything that we could, but we didn't know, you know, like it's one thing, because if the Celtics didn't, like if there was another game where the Celtics didn't know exactly, as close to exactly what they needed to do, the foot off would have been off the gas 5-6 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. And so it did really feel like, at least in this first year of the in-season tournament, if you were playing a game on that closeout night, it definitely held an advantage over a team like Orlando, who was sitting back and just kind of waiting to see what happened. But it is what it is, man. You know, in-season tournament, it keeps rolling on. We're going to be back either Monday or Tuesday. And you know what that means? That means the theme song's not dead yet. Not quite dead yet. The Celtics in-season tournament court, that will be retired until next year. We'll see what they come up with. Whenever they play, Monday or Tuesday, that game is going to be in Indiana, which, of course, the Celtics destroyed the Pacers early in the year, 155-104, but no Tyrese Halliburton in that game. Looks like they should be at full strength. And, you know, hey, that's I'm excited for that game, man. Like I said, I'm into the in-season tournament now. So at this point, let's go fucking win the thing. That's got to be the mentality, right?
Let's do it. Yeah. What are the chances we can get tickets and go to Vegas?
I'd have to look. I honestly kind of put it out of sight, out of mind for a little bit after it seemed like this was going to be a long shot. The Celtics find their way to claw back into the quarterfinals. So we're going to have to look around. We'll see if we can get maybe some last minute cheap flights to Vegas.
Write it off, baby.
Yeah. Who's the ones writing it off?
They are.
They are the ones writing it up. Who's they? Maybe we'll have to look into it. That could be something a little spontaneous, Green with Envy trip. But anything else you got here, Greg, before we wrap this one up?
Shout out to the men's league team, man. Undefeated.
Yeah, bro. Doing work undefeated, out here.
Winning every game by double digits. It's fun, man. Playing with a really talented squad. It was a good time tonight. The game started at 9:30 p.m.
Central time. For you boys. This is the late night loopy episode right now. Late night loopy episode. I'm literally in a race against my edible before I fall asleep on this podcast.
I forgot about that. Is it hitting you?
Not hitting me yet. But we're probably in the like 10 to 15 minute zone of it about to hit in. So I got to go ahead and get this up on YouTube for us. So yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Green with Envy. We'll be back with another episode probably tomorrow or the day after, depending on when that launches. We'll reunite the three-man weave. We'll dig into everything we know about the in-season tournament.
And a special guest next week.
We'll have a special guest next week to help you get ready for even more of that in-season tournament talk. We'll also make sure that we set you up properly for that big Friday night showdown against the Philadelphia 76ers. And of course, should have done this at the beginning of the podcast, but if you're still listening now, join the Discord. Go look at the description. We're having a good time in the Discord. We want to keep growing this. So make sure you look for that link in the description of either YouTube or on wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Check our bios, on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you may find us. But we appreciate y'all for listening in, and that's going to do it for this episode. Greg, for those listening on the audio, anything special they're going to hear on the way out?
Black Sheep Optimist, get this high. Peace, everybody.
Peace, y'all. Every time I get this high, I lose my mind. It don't take much no more until I hit the floor. Every time I get this high, it's you I find. It don't take much no more until I'm at your door. You cut me to my core, baby. What can I say? You got me on the floor, you know I came to play. I know I shouldn't, but you seem to take my pain away. And every time I score, Jason Tatum fade away. I close my eyes and I'm floating in your river.